All right, let's turn back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. The Lord has just met with the woman at the well. That's where we are. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now our text begins in verse 43. It says, now after 2 days, he departed thence, and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. That's amazing to me. That statement has always been amazing to me. I clearly understand why I would have no honor in my country. I was there. I grew up with me. The things I did, the things I said, the way I lived, I don't deserve honor. But our Lord, He was perfect. Perfect. He was wisdom. He was the greatest example of good a person could ever see. He was worthy to be honored by every person who met him. Every person who met him could walk away saying, that's the finest man I have ever met in my life. That's the most honest. That's the kindest. That's the hardest working man I have ever seen in my life. What a man. He was worthy. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, and he came to Nazareth. Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Can you imagine what that sounded like? The gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." They hated him. And did you know that people still do today? The bumper stickers say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But as soon as they find out who the real Jesus is, they hate him. "I hate that man." Why? Was it because of his gracious words? Or was it because he was sent to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives? Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Evil hates good. Sin hates grace. And all have sinned. That's why. Turn with me over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 53 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, right? You know, if we were his own, if we are his own, then it means by nature, we received him not. That's what it means. And it's amazing that he had mercy on any of us. It really is. It's amazing. It's almost like we expect God to have mercy. It's amazing that he had mercy on anybody. We'll go back to our text in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 43 says, "Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. A certain nobleman. Now, how many noblemen do you think were there at this great city at that time? Our Lord wrote this scripture about a certain nobleman. Everything our God does is certain. That means it's on purpose. Every person He chooses to save is on purpose. The fact that this man was a nobleman means he was a royal officer. Verse 51 says he had servants. He was now going down. His servants met him. I don't care what this man's rank was. I don't care how rich he was. This shows us that no man is exempt from the effects and the burdens and the sorrows of sin. Nobody. No man or woman. Death is a result of sin. That's the reason people die. It's a result of sin. Where there is no sin, there is no death. That's why life in Christ is eternal. There's no sin there. That's why. There is no sin there. It's forever. Well, a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, verse 47 says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This man had a great need. We all know he knew that every day that we finish, I went to bed last night, I finished a day. That was one less day that I have in this life. Right? I'm sure he was living life. He was a nobleman. Right? Living life, not too worried about it. He knew death was coming someday. Not too worried about it. Not too worried about himself. Not too worried about his family. But all of a sudden, he became faced with it. It became real. You know why we have all driven our cars over here today? We have to face death. That's why. It became real. The truth came. Sin is present. So he goes searching for the cure. Now think about this. Had his son not gotten sick, would he have ever needed the Lord? Has his son not gotten sick, would this man have ever needed the Lord? Let's think about that as we go through these things in life that we see as horrible trials. Horrible trials. Let's remember that this is actually going to turn out to be great mercy. Hard while you're in the middle of it. But it's going to turn out to be great mercy. Listen to what one man said. This is good. God uses many different agents in predisposing men to receive and believe His Word. No doubt these lines will be read by more than one who dates his first awakening to the time when some loved one lay at death's door. Now, I want to tell you this. I want to confess this about myself. I grew up under the sound of the gospel. I never sat under a false message. I was taught by my parents, and I trusted them. I believed what they told me. Therefore, I believed the truth. But I can honestly tell you that when my mother got cancer in the year 2000, and she had it for 11 months, that was a point in my life when the Lord caused me to get a hold of how serious all this really is. I really did. Death became real to me. And he writes, "No doubt these lines will be read by more than one who dates his first awakening to the time when some loved one lay at death's door. It was then he was made to think seriously and saw the need for preparing to meet God." I'm going to meet God. It could be today on our way up Highway 23. I got to go meet God. Now listen to what he writes. "It is well when trouble leads a man to God instead of away from God. Affliction is one of God's medicines. Then let us beware of murmuring in time of trouble." Oh, may I learn that. Let us beware of murmuring in time of trouble. That's good, isn't it? Well, verse 47 here in John 4 says, "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, this man heard. He heard about a great physician who can heal the greatest disease. And verse 47 says, "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him." He heard and he came. He doesn't have anything to glory in because no man can come except the Father draw him, right? But it appears that the Father was drawing him because verse 47 says, "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him." He begged him. He cried unto him. Now watch this. May the Spirit quicken us right now. He besought him. It says right here, that he would come down. That he would come down. "Lord, thou art high, and I'm low. Would you condescend down to this poor, needy, begging sinner?" There's a song in our hymnal, and we don't sing it because I don't care for the verses. But the chorus says, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day because heaven came down and glory filled my soul." Verse 47 says, "He besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." He begged the Lord on behalf of another. Now let's take some hope in this. Let's take some hope in this. This is who our Lord is. We just said in the Bible study, without His Word, how would we know who He is and what He's like? Well, take some hope in this. This is who our Lord is, and He changes not. He's about to answer this man's prayer. This man loved his son But this was not a selfish request. Lord, would you do something wonderful for somebody else? Would you do something for somebody else? Do you have somebody who needs the Lord's healing touch? We all do, don't we? James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Take comfort in that. Lord, would you come down and do something for my loved one? Verse 47 says, "When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." What the Lord is telling him is, by nature, you're a sinner just like everybody else. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The Lord is telling this man, you have nothing and you're not worthy. Do you think I should heal your son because you're a nobleman? Do you think your status gives you any favor with me? We cannot tell our Lord how to act and what to do. And that's usually what we're doing when we pray. We must take our burdens to the Lord and leave them with Him. Did you know that? I feel like I'm in the front row. I'm preaching to myself more than anybody this morning. We must take our burdens to the Lord and leave them with Him and then walk away. Leave all things in His hands. Lord, you know what's best. Thy will be done. This is what we all need to cry unto the Lord. Listen, don't turn. Mark 9:24 says, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Verse 48 says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die." What this man is saying is, "Lord, you're my only hope. If you don't come down, my child will die. You're my only hope." I thought about that woman who came to the Lord on behalf of her daughter. You can turn or just listen. Matthew chapter 15 says this. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28 say, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The Lord is going to show His people who they are and where their place is first. Well, in our text, John 4, verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now notice two things. Here's the first one. No begging sinner who comes to the Lord will be turned away empty-handed. Never. Never. The other thing is, our Lord didn't fulfill His request. Now, He gave him what he needed. We're about to see that this man's son lived. But he didn't fulfill his request. The man kept saying, Come down with me. Come down to my house. Come down to where my child is. And the Lord didn't go. The Lord's ways were not His ways. We think we have our answer figured out, don't we? Lord, I know what I put a lot of thought into this, and I know what I need. And here's my prayer. I've run all the scenarios, and I've got the best one figured out. This is what I pray you would do. We make our petitions known, but we would be wise to say, Nevertheless, not our will, but thine be done. Verse 50, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He didn't get what he wanted, but he believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. It takes God-given faith to believe that all things work together for good. It really does. We can say it, and we can say it, we can say it, but to live it is something else. It takes God-given faith to trust that His will be done. Verse 50 says, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word. Do you know what we believe? What do y'all believe over at Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church? You know what we believe? The Word. Christ Himself. The Word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what we believe. Look at one chapter over. John 5 verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 10 says, Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He heard the Word of God from the mouth of God, and true saving faith was given to this man. He didn't have any statements. He didn't have any questions. He heard. He believed, and it says he went his way. When God gives faith, no signs are needed. He told him, you need a sign. But when God gives faith, no signs are needed. We believe His Word. He believed that His Word was powerful. He believed this man is able. This man will accomplish His Word. If He said it, He'll do it. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 says, When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I'll go to your house. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. Our text, John 4, verse 51 says, the end of verse 50 says, he went his way, 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. Now listen to this. I always like to tell you when my favorite part comes. My favorite part. Verse 52 says, yesterday, right? The man was going home the day after the Lord did this. Cana to Capernaum was a 4-hour walk. Their day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. So the seventh hour was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the middle of the day. Right? He could have made it home by 5. He was so confident in the word of his Savior, he didn't even go home that day. I can picture this man just taking his time. Resting. Strolling home, smelling the flowers, happy, joyful. Somebody asking him, what's the happy occasion? My son, he was so sick. He almost died yesterday. And the Lord Jesus Christ made him whole. Where did he do this? Capernaum. Well, how do you know? They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have Morse code. How do you know? The Master said so. He said so. We can have the same joy and peace and assurance if we will rest on the sure Word of God. The Master said so. Just listen to Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 52 says, then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Now, he didn't ask his servants about the details because of unbelief. You know what he was doing? He wanted to dwell on the amazing work of his God. And that's what we do. Isn't it amazing? What time did you say it was? 1 o'clock? Yep, 1 o'clock. That's when he said it. 1 o'clock. It says, the Father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy Son liveth, and himself believed. And I pray the Lord would do this next phrase for all of us. Isabella's up in Rocky Mount. I got Sophie sitting right here. I pray the Lord would do this next phrase. May God be merciful to us. Look at it. It says, the end of verse 53, and his whole house. I know he can. I know that he can. Himself believed in his whole house. Lord, save this house. Save this house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. That was a miracle unto salvation. He believed in his whole house. Now, boys and girls, little girls, big girls, we're all here because this is important. Okay? Little girls, we're all here because this is important. And we need for our Lord Jesus Christ to save our souls. So I want you to remember, this is where you need to come to hear about Him and learn about Him. And we come here to worship Him. And this is very holy. And it's very serious. And I pray that God would save our souls. Do y'all understand that? We need God to save our souls. May God save this whole house. Every time we come here, this is serious. Very serious. A miracle unto salvation. The more we study His Word, the more we rest on His Word, the more we're going to believe that all things work together for good. You know that? That boy being sick, almost to the point of death. I would never want my child to be so sick. I thought, today's it. They're dying today. Never. But that was the greatest thing that ever happened to that whole house. That was the greatest thing. I wonder what the Lord is working for us right now in our trials. We all have them, don't we? I promise you, it's for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I promise you. I wonder what He's doing right now. I pray the Lord would save us, save our houses. All right, let's stand together.